This is the $295,000 kids party rental side hustle. Buy it once, get paid for it over and over again. You know that's a business model I love, and today's guest is an absolute pro at that, having built out a huge inventory of party rental options over the last few years. I'm talking about inflatables, ball pits, bumper cars, and of course, tables and chairs too. From BayAreaKidsRentals.com, Tayo Lanlahin, welcome to the Side Hustle Show.
Thank you so much for having me, Nick.
You bet. Stick around. In this one, we're talking how to get started, how to market and grow your own rental business, mistakes to avoid, and how to get it all done while still holding down a day job. Now, Tayo, my understanding is the business started with a personal pain point. You wanted to find some kid-sized chairs for your own son's party, and they just weren't out there.
Yes. So we were planning our son's first birthday, and the theme was first trip around the sun. And kids are very visual, right? You want to immerse them into a world of the theme that you're going for. And I looked around and there was none of the chairs, tables that I thought would go with the theme. So they had a lot of plastic white chairs, but not what I had imagined would make this theme amazing. And so I just said to myself, what if I brought this to the Bay Area? What if this is something that I could do? And I went out and did it.
Yeah, you're like, I can't be the only one, right? I guess there's maybe some confidence in saying that. So what happens next? So you go find the chairs that you're looking for through Amazon, through Alibaba? Like, where do you even go?
Yeah, so I did order some chairs from abroad. We had a basement that was empty. You know, I think it was about 1,000 square feet of storage. So I ordered these chairs. I think it was probably four styles, 20 of each chair. And I set up an Instagram page. I started reaching out to some event planners. Before I knew it, they were reaching out back and they were asking me for packages that included tables, but I didn't have the tables.
Right. I've only got chairs.
Right. And so I was like, okay, this is really a thing. And so I went and got more tables, some custom styles, and they just kept reaching out. And I remember there was one client, one event planner who was like, oh, this is, you know, I have a VIP client. And, you know, we did that. And I made sure that we had everything arrive on time. And it was, you know, it was a huge client. And I think from then on, it just really went off. One of the points that I will say was really a point that I was like, okay, this is going to work out, was I had reached out to the wife of a top NBA player online. I reached out to her by email and I just put together some of the items that we had. I was like, oh, you know, I can see that your daughter's birthday is coming up. You know, are you looking to have these kid size rentals, whatnot? This is what we have. And she reached out right away and she was like, yeah, I'm going to put you in touch with our event planner.
Event planners for like a kid's birthday party.
Oh, yeah.
Is interesting on the one scale.
It is. I mean, we work with different types of event planners and the events range from, I don't know, $500 events to 80 grand, you know, for a kid's party. And we've heard from event planners that, you know, we're so glad you're here because we have these clients that we have to buy these rentals for and somehow dispose of them. So we're glad that you're here because now it can be sustainable. We can rent and you also have, you know, different types of styles and a variety, if that makes sense.
Yeah, let's break some of these down. So we couldn't find the chairs. So you order them up, $2,000 investment. We can keep them on site in the basement, set up the Instagram page. And then tell me about this outreach process, because it doesn't sound like you're the type of person who's going to sit around and wait for business to come calling. You're going to be proactive and start thinking, well, who are the people that my target customers are already doing business with? It's going to be these event planners, these local Bay Area event planners, and kind of get on their radar. Do you remember what the Instagram page or portfolio looked like at that point? If you only got shares, like how interesting could the inventory look like? And then what kind of outbound messages were you sending?
I think our first post was me essentially unboxing the items.
Okay.
Just being like, look, Bay Area, we have kids' tables and chairs now. We have cute things for cute kids' parties. And the name of our company is Bay Area Kids Rentals. So I was coming from a place of empathy where when I was looking for items for my son's birthday, I just didn't know where to look. I didn't know what they would be called. So when I thought of Bay Area Kids Rentals, I was like, okay, what would parents search, right? I think they would search Bay Area Kids Rentals.
Sure, yeah, that's a nice exact match.
Exactly. So that was the first thing. And then I made a list of the different event planners that I could find online. And I just started following them on social media, putting together pictures of our items, sending them, you know, a price list, like a menu, telling them what we do, all about us, introducing myself. And then we had people follow us back. I remember the first event that we had was also an event planner for her own kid's birthday. I made sure that I was on site recording the process, recording the party, and put that out there. And that got a lot of views as well. So you could tell that this was stuff that people really were interested in and didn't exist. And so from then on, I just kept on coming up with different outreach strategies, whether it was reaching out to venues and just collaborating on styled shoots.
Okay.
And then obviously, you then get tagged by those vendors who might have a following, and then people see that you provided the kids' rentals, and then, you know, you get that following and all of that. So that's kind of how the early days were.
So you almost have to set this stuff up for your own purposes in order to get the content that you can use to get future business. We had a woman on who was doing these cool like slumber party tents, and she had a, you know, dozen different themes of them. But she was like, it's has built-in virality in that everybody who comes to the party is like, oh, I want that for my party. And it's like, it's made for Instagram. And she was doing really well with that. It sounds maybe similar here, except starting out in a more, I don't know, it feels like somewhat commoditized, where it's like, okay, can you deliver these chairs at this time? And it's like, yes or no, otherwise I'm calling the next person on the list. But no one was focused on the kids' niche.
Right. Nobody had the type of items that we had, right, to start off. And so even though I only had, for instance, four styles of chairs, very quickly I realized that this was going to work out because of the demand. And so we invested in a whole container of these kids' tables and chairs within like 2 months of starting.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was a big investment and that was a big risk. And once we had all the different styles, right, we had so many options to choose from, we were really the go-to. Because if you really wanted to match your theme, right, to the style, we had everything. And so that was really helpful in positioning us as, you know, serious about this space.
What gave you the confidence to go all in? It sounds like you had some initial traction and it was like, well, we need more inventory if we're going to be able to serve this demand. I don't know how much a container costs, but I imagine it's not cheap.
We definitely did some analysis, but it was still early on. It was really the traction we were getting and just even some of the anecdotal feedback from the event planners who were doing like an 80K event and saying to us, look, we're so glad you're here. We have multiple clients like this with multiple kids and they do events every year. And we are constantly scouting, looking, getting stuff, having to dispose of them. And this is great what you're doing. And also even just some of the clientele that we were getting. So I mentioned reaching out to the NBA player's wife, the Warriors player's wife, and they had a great party. The event planner said to me, oh, you were actually already on our radar, right? So that showed me that we were becoming a piece of the type of party that these event planners were trying to put together. We were like almost the missing piece.
Yeah. Do you see this working in a different geographic area where people aren't spending tens of thousands of dollars on a kid's birthday party, or, you know, where the budget might be a little bit lower?
100%. So we don't just do high, like super high end fancy parties. We also work with like DIY moms who want to do their own thing themselves. And some of the things that we do, for instance, we offer free customer pickup so that they're just paying for the item, right? If you want to transport it in your own car and things like that.
Okay.
So we offer that because we want to be available to all types of clientele, right? So I do think it's something that can work all over.
Do you remember your first paid booking and how much you charged for that and that story?
Yeah, so that was an event planner that reached out to us to book for her daughter's birthday. I remember it was a Barbie party, and it was our pink garden bow chairs with like the pink cushions, like velvet cushion. And myself and my husband went to do the delivery together. And it would just, it felt so good, really. And I remember that was really the prop of the moment for that party. Because when we went to pick up the items, the event planner had taken all the chairs and she put them in her house because she really didn't want the kids to like put cake on it or anything like that. Like it literally was like the prize. She was so grateful. And it was such a cute birthday and it felt so good.
So it looks like charging per chair at $10, of course, pricing subject to change. And then you got to deliver it on top of that. And you like, they don't look like they're going to stack super easily or fold down. And so now do I need a trailer? Do I got to go rent a U-Haul for the day? How does this part work?
I delivered maybe like two events in my car and I was like, okay, we need something else. And then we hired a driver who had his own truck, a small truck. And then I believe within maybe a couple of months later, we got like a transit van. Right now we do have a transit van and two 16-foot trucks.
Oh, dang. Okay. Yeah. It scaled up pretty quick there.
Yeah, we do. I mean, it worked out well for us because we do charge a delivery fee based on the mileage. It does cover just running of the vehicles, the insurance and whatnot. So, and it's much cheaper than having to hassle going in and out of U-Haul.
Is there a way that you think about pricing in terms of your acquisition cost and the return on investment? Like, oh, if I rent it out three times, I've covered my costs. Like, what does that part look like?
The way I price, typically, I want to cover my cost. Best case scenario, it doesn't always work out for me that way, to be fair. But the best case scenario is I'm covering my costs in about six rentals.
Okay.
That now doesn't include maintenance costs. Because, of course, some of the items are very sturdy and they don't need too much maintenance, but we're dealing with kids. And kids are interesting.
Interesting is a nice way of saying destructive.
Right. And, you know, the events that we are doing, the parents, the event planners, the expectations is that these items look pretty much brand new or great. They want to be Instagram ready, all of that. So yeah, sometimes we do have to do a touch up with paint. That is like an ongoing cost in terms of labor.
Right. So trying to break even on the raw purchase price in six rentals or less, not accounting the business overhead, the ongoing maintenance, delivery, insurance, all this stuff. Okay, that makes sense. Now there's a huge selection of stuff that you have. And was that bought speculatively or was that bought based on we've got a lead on an event that's happening next month? Do you have, you know, fill in the blank item? And you're like, we have that. We'll have that ready for you. Then you can go out and buy it.
Definitely a mix of both. I think in business, you certainly have to be very flexible. You have to be willing to take risks. There have definitely been times where maybe someone has asked, oh, do we have 30 of that chair and we only have 12? And I'm like, mm-hmm. And then, I mean, it's a rat race to get the extra 18 by the event day, if that makes sense. But I think most of it, I have released them as collections. So typically my process is to think about the types of themes that kids' parties, like the trending parties and events and color palettes. And then from then, I think about what type of rentals I would get tables, chairs to match those themes. And so I certainly release the collections in those ways. And so right now, I'm actually working on another collection, which should be here in about a month's time. It took me some time putting it together, seeing what the gaps are in my collection right now and what is trending and what color palettes. And so that part is also a design part of this that I really enjoy, as opposed to doing the deliveries and whatnot.
Want more ideas of stuff you can rent out for a profit? Grab the free list of unconventional rental ideas through the link in the description. I've got more with Tayo in just a moment, including the trending party themes driving her inventory buys right now, plus her average customer order and more coming up right after this. Hear that? That's the sound of your marketing working. And as an entrepreneur, you know that every call is an opportunity. But if you miss it, potential customers don't wait. They'll just call the next business on their list. That's why today's episode is brought to you by Quo, spelled Q-U-O. It's the business phone system built so you never miss a call. You can set it up in minutes on any device. You can keep your existing phone number, and you can add teammates as you grow. No IT, no hassle. Once you do, all your calls, texts, and voicemails live in one place, so anyone on your team can pick up a conversation, see the full history, and respond fast. Plus, Quo integrates with the tools you're already using, HubSpot, Zapier, Claude, and tons more, so you can save time and stay organized. Money is on the line. Always say hello with Quo. Try Quo for free. Plus, get 20% off your first 6 months when you go to quo.com/hustle. That's Quo, quo.com/hustle. You started your business with a dream to make extra money, to make an impact. You didn't start your business dreaming about payroll tax deadlines yet. Here they are, every quarter, sitting on your to-do list. Among other things, our partner Gusto quietly crosses that task off your list in the background so you can focus on what you do best. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k and health insurance, and it works with both W-2 and 1099 workers. It's no wonder why more than 500,000 small businesses already trust Gusto to help run their payroll, and why it's ranked number one on G2's highest satisfaction products list for 2026. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's gusto, gusto.com/sidehustle.
Right, right. What are some of the hot themes right now?
Right now, people are really into camping. So like the Parent Trap movie. So they have like just different like camp themes. Obviously, Toy Story just did release another movie. So Toy Story is also really big right now. We're also in like back to school. So there's a lot of back to school themes going on. Those are some of the themes. And of course, just the ones that always happen, like carnival themes are very popular all the time.
Right. The Slumber Party Woman had the Taylor Swift theme and the Minecraft theme and a bunch of different things.
Exactly.
And so trying to acquire the inventory in step with the demand, but sometimes you kind of have to shoot your shot a little bit and try and anticipate where the market's going.
Talking about Taylor Swift, I have a star purple ball pit, and that was actually inspired by Taylor Swift themes because it's a star-shaped ball pit that's like a kind of purple color. It's perfect.
Nice. Okay. So continuing to do the outreach, and is that what is kind of driving sales in the first year, is just kind of getting on the radar of the local event planners and trying to seed the content portfolio on the website with, well, here's what we have.
Yeah, we definitely started to invest in different types of marketing as well. But I'll say Instagram was certainly our biggest area for getting leads and getting visibility.
Did you find people were seeking that out, or was just you would get tagged in events? And I don't know, I suck at social media, so I'm like kind of trying to figure out how it works mechanically.
It was really a mix. We were definitely getting tagged. So it really becomes also a snowball because other people, it was a multitude of things. Some event planners are tagging you, and then other people feel that when they work with you too, they tag you. So everybody is basically tagging you. And then sometimes some people actually want to be featured on your page because they start to realize that, oh, wow, they're getting a following. I think right now we have almost 10,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I think people do want to be on our page, you know, or, you know, as we were grooming. And so they were probably collaborating with us because they wanted to be featured on our page. A lot of parents in the Bay Area, they use our page as a inspiration page or a place to find vendors. I've heard a lot of people who follow us for the first time because they can see our mutual connections and people that follow us. And like, oh my God, like I have so many of my kids' friends' parents that already follow you.
Yeah, there's some social proof in that. What else worked on the marketing side? I think with the exact match domain, I imagine the SEO started firing at some point.
Yes, we certainly invested in SEO. That was really helpful with getting just leads again to our website directly, and our website being able to capture the bookings and parents just being able to book on our website. That was also something that was really helpful.
What tool are you using for the booking on the site?
It's called Event Rental System currently. And so, yeah, we use that as our booking host.
That sounds like a very specific piece of software.
Yeah, it's a specific rental software.
Probably tracks what inventory you have and if it's committed for that date and where it's going to go.
Yeah, it does. We definitely did a few collaborations with some event planners, like Styled Shoots. Those are really pretty, and they might have put them in some magazines and things like that. So that was nice. And I think, yeah, just content creation. I think from day one, as you can see our page, we've really always focused on trying our best to capture those items and the content as much as we can. And I think some of those skill sets for me, I've run other businesses in the past. One of the other business that I ran was a travel experience company. And I used to organize travel experiences in Africa, actually, for like-minded people. And we would always have a videographer, a photographer on the trip, because it was like, look, if you didn't take videos and pictures, did it actually happen, you know?
Right.
So that's definitely been a big part of our growth. Just people being able to follow our journey as well. We have a lot of people who have followed us from when we had less than 1,000 followers. And so I actually spoke to one of our clients, but last year I got to meet her and she had a big event. And I was asking, how did you? She was like, look, I've been following you guys from a long time. I just didn't have an event. And so they moved to a really nice house. And then she was like, yeah, I'm gonna have my kids' birthday party as the housewarming, and I'm gonna book Bay Area Kids Rentals. So you have people who've been following us from literally when I was unboxing the items.
Yeah, planting those seeds, because you never know. So everybody's going to have an event at some point in their future. And even if it's not for them, you want to be kind of top of mind for when it comes up in conversation. Oh, my kid's party is coming up. And then you can be the go-to referral for that person.
I will also say, in terms of marketing, and I think you touched on this earlier, who is going to the events? It's your ideal clientele, you know? So if you're providing an event that is spectacular, that is different, people haven't seen this before, then it really, really resonates. And when they are having their event, they're definitely going to ask for a referral. And of course, if you've done a good job, then of course, they're going to refer you. And so I think that really helped, because a lot of times, we would get a booking from maybe the parents work in one sector, for instance. And then that evening after the event, we'll just get like three extra bookings from that same sector. It might be a niche sector. And you kind of know, you're like, okay, they were at that event. Or maybe the same area, they were at that event. And you did a good job. That's why they want to work with you again.
So I can definitely see how this snowballs. Talk to me about expanding the inventory to meet demand, because now it's like a really broad selection where it would be a huge and probably risky upfront expense to say, we're going to buy all this stuff and hopefully somebody wants it. But curious how you went about really expanding the menu here.
We were really listening to the clients. So at this point, we have tables and chairs, and then the clients are asking us for other things. Oh, do you have bounce houses? Do you have ball pits? And we're thinking also, like, what are they doing on these tables anyways, right? They're doing paint stations, they're doing crafts and different activities. So why don't we expand? And so we had to have a prioritized list because we couldn't go out there and just buy everything. So I believe we prioritized ball pits. I also knew that I wanted to start to break into the corporate world in terms of events. I didn't want it to just be individual kids' parties. I wanted it to be like, oh, bring your kids to work, or, you know, those kind of things, right? And so we decided to get our grand ball pits with the first two big ones. So grand ball pits, and they're huge. I mean, if you scroll down, the pictures don't do justice, but the circle one is what, 13 foot diameter, and the square one is like 13 by 10.
Yeah, $1,200 to rent one of these.
And then we, you know, we got more more ball pits, and we got some bounce houses. So we got bounce houses in different colors. We started to expand our activity lists. So we do a lot of customized activity workshops. The most recent one that we launched is actually our plushie making machine. So we have like, it's kind of like Build-A-Bear on site. Yes.
Wow. Okay.
But we help them stuff. And we like, yeah, we brought the whole setting, then they can decorate the t-shirts, and the kids love it for that activity.
So it sounds like trying to become more of a one-stop shop instead of people trying to piece together their party from a bunch of different vendors. Like, look, we really want to be your number one choice here, and we can bring all of this different stuff.
Yes, essentially. It's one delivery. You don't have to go to different places. These parents are busy, and they really want to just deal with, if possible, one person. So it's less coordination for the parents, you know, more rentals from one company, one delivery to coordinate. And so I'm always trying to think of ways to work with parents on that end.
What's good or what's average in terms of a booking for you in terms of dollar value at this point?
I believe our average is probably around $2,000, because I think we've drastically moved to a different type of business now where we're talking about more delivery. So it's not just tables, chairs. So we're doing, I mean, we have events where we have done like $8,000 even, you know what I mean? Because they are getting the plushie workshop for many kids, 40 kids, for instance, they're getting a ball pit, they're getting tables and chairs, you know, I'm just fact checking it, but it's about 1,000 to 1,500. That's our average booking.
More with Tayo in just a moment, including some of the overhead costs to consider in a rental business like this, how she runs it on the side from her day job, and her plans for future growth. Coming up right after this. It took Bryn and I a few years to fully appreciate that as a couple, as a family, our finances really are a team sport. And for a long time, we'd have these every so often money check-ins where I would dutifully log into what felt like a dozen different accounts and update my overly complex spreadsheet to get a look at our financial picture. Today, all that lives inside Monarch, and it's given us a clear one-stop visual dashboard for our net worth, for our investment performance, our account balances, and it's just made those money conversations so much easier. One of the coolest features is on the cash flow tab. It will show you your savings rate, otherwise known as your personal profitability, otherwise known as the single most important lever you can pull toward financial independence, and you can track that over time. You can try and push it to 50% or beyond to really accelerate your journey. I want to invite you to write your own money story with Monarch. Use code SIDEHUSTLE at monarch.com to get your first year of Monarch Core half off at just $50. That's 50% off your first year at monarch.com with code SIDEHUSTLE. You started your business with a dream to make extra money, to make an impact. You didn't start your business dreaming about payroll tax deadlines yet. Here they are, every quarter, sitting on your to-do list. Among other things, our partner Gusto quietly crosses that task off your list in the background so you can focus on what you do best. Gusto is online payroll and benefits software built for small businesses. It's all-in-one, remote-friendly, and incredibly easy to use, so you can pay, hire, onboard, and support your team from anywhere. Plus, you can offer benefits like 401k and health insurance, and it works with both W-2 and 1099 workers. It's no wonder why more than 500,000 small businesses already trust Gusto to help run their payroll, and why it's ranked number one on G2's highest satisfaction products list for 2026. Try Gusto today at gusto.com/sidehustle and get 3 months free when you run your first payroll. That's 3 months of free payroll at gusto.com/sidehustle. One more time, it's gusto, gusto.com/sidehustle. How has the addition of inventory like bounce houses impacted the storage and also the insurance side of things? We've talked to some entrepreneurs who are like, well, I was looking at the bounce house thing, but it was almost prohibitively expensive if you weren't operating at a pretty significant scale.
Yes, for sure. Those additions have increased our overhead when it comes to insurance. It's very expensive when you start to add the inflatables. and our insurance, our storage space. So in fact, we've had to move to another storage space last week.
Yeah, you outgrew the basement a long time ago.
Oh yeah, no, we outgrew the basement a long time ago. We built like a warehouse at the back of our house at this point, a 1200 square foot warehouse, but we've outgrown all of that now. And so we've had to move to an actual commercial space that's about 3,500 square feet.
Got it. And that's where you can park the transit van. That's where you can park the 16 footers.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. What's a day in the life look like for you at this point? It sounds like the bookings come in through the website and maybe you're in charge of the social media, but you've got drivers in place to figure out who's going where at what time. I mean, how much time does it take to run this thing?
I have a lot of staff that I work with. So yes, I have like a manager. We have drivers in place. I also have admin and customer service assistants who take on inquiries that come through just email that are not like booking straight through the website, and also inquiries that come through our social media. We have a social media manager too. So that gives me a lot of time back, to be honest, because I have a full-time job. So I have a team in place who is managing the business essentially. And then I'm basically like, I'm the owner.
Yeah. I mean, good on you for kind of putting the different players where they need to be or getting the right people on the bus. And I think it'll be surprising to people here. Oh, no, I still work full time. And this is still my side project, despite being a multi-six-figure operation and having all these moving parts and pieces and inventory and everything else.
I agree. And I think one of the struggles that we've had has been hiring, to be honest, like hiring the right people who are passionate about the work or who have the same level of understanding of what's expected, you know, the aesthetics that are expected, just the perfection that's expected, you know, being design forward, all of that. It's been very, very tough to find just the right talent, but it's something that for sure has helped as well, because we've also had some really good people. I mean, I have some really good people that I work with that have helped with the business.
Yeah, it's such a visual brand, and the expectations of these the types of clients that you're going after are so high. There's a certain aesthetic. It's like this person really needs to represent your brand in alignment with that.
Exactly.
Is there a path where you see it becoming a full-time thing for you?
Couple of things. We haven't talked about this, but we do have a franchise. So we're franchising and we have one franchise actually. And so a scenario whereby we have a lot more franchises is a pathway. We've also talked about potentially opening up a space, a brick and mortar.
Yeah, like a venue space, a party space.
Yeah. So that's something that we've talked about, and we're still doing a lot of the analysis. Those are some avenues, but we're still in the beginning phases of those.
Yeah, that's a commitment. Bay Area real estate's not cheap.
It's not.
Anything you would do differently if you had to start over, if you were advising somebody listening in, starting their own rental business? And I mean, you don't have to pick off the entire, you know, menu of offerings that Tayo has. Like, but I want to be the kids' tables and chairs person in Seattle. Like, what would you do differently starting over?
I would have actually started with more items even earlier. I think for me, when I started, I mean, it shows. Like, I was like, oh, let me just get chairs. I didn't even get tables.
Yeah, people can sit, but they can't do anything else.
Right. I would actually start with the mindset of trying to be a one-stop shop, if possible. Because people like packages. They do like the idea of dealing with one. And it doesn't have to be that you get all the styles of chairs. You know, you can just have a few chairs, a few tables, a few bounce houses, a few ball pits.
Yeah. How far out do people book?
Definitely even 6 months.
Okay. So you do have lead time, right? What's going through my head is like, well, I could put some shadow inventory up on the website. And if there's demand for it, then I can go acquire it if I got 5 or 6 months.
100%. I do that. Yeah, that's definitely a strategy that's helped. Our items that I had mentioned are on the way. In the next couple of weeks, we'll be going up on our website before they arrive. You should do that, actually.
Yeah, thinking of ways to minimize your risk, because I do like this model of getting paid for something that you buy once over and over again. After that sixth rental, like, it's all gravy, which is a really cool business to be in. Plus, hopefully it has some resale value at the end of its life. I mean, similar to a car rental business or anything else where there's some depreciation math involved, but it's like, well, how many times can I turn this over before it's no longer in demand or whatever?
Yeah, and truly, some of these items do have a long shelf life. Like, they've been with me. I looked at my garden bow chairs the other day at the warehouse, and they still look spanking new. And they've been out, who knows, maybe 30, 40 times, you know? They still look really good.
Yeah. Aside from the software that you mentioned, and I imagine that was a step up from spreadsheets in the early days, but like anything else that you're using tools and tech-wise to help manage the business?
Yeah, definitely have like our team, like our kind of like a team Slack, but we actually use something called Connect Team for that. And we also use, I mean, obviously like for payments, my husband's a CFO, so he does all of that processing, but I know he processes it through something.
Is it typical for clients to pay upfront versus invoicing?
Yes. So our payment terms are 50% deposit to reserve the items, and then 1 week before the event, they pay the 100% upfront.
Okay. What's been the most surprising thing over the last 4 years of running it? It could be a brush with celebrity. It could be a party gone horribly wrong. What comes to mind in that ballpark?
I'll tell you two stories. I think probably our third client, not, you know, don't want to name drop here, but the granddad at the time, he was the CEO of Apple. And it was just like, whoa, you know, we got to meet him. It was in his house. And it was just so interesting. You know, for me, I was like, okay, these are the type of clientele we're getting. Another, on the opposite end, earlier this year, one of our trucks got stolen from our warehouse.
Okay.
Our previous warehouse. That was surprising because we just walked into the warehouse and we're like, wait, where's the truck?
Yeah, that's not a good feeling. I swear we parked it right here.
My manager is like, wait, Taya, did you come get the truck? Because we parked it here and actually the gate is open and it's not there. So that was very surprising actually, and is what led to us getting another truck of the same style, because we needed to continue business and it was super expensive to continue renting whilst insurance was doing their thing. It takes a long time. And then ultimately our truck got found. So we have two of those same trucks and a transit van. So, and honestly, we need them. It just forced us to scale very fast, but we need them. We need all those trucks.
Right. We've got deliveries we got to make. Yeah. And it kind of gives you the capacity to be two places at once. Well, glad that got resolved. You mentioned the franchise expansion through, or as a way to bring this to more geographic areas. You mentioned potentially doing an event space. I don't know, what else has got you excited this year?
We do have some travel plans. So we're going to London with our family. That's where I was actually raised. I was born in London, even though my accent does not sound like it.
There's a piece in there.
Yeah, just to see family. So that's going to be exciting with the kids.
What led you to franchising versus trying to keep it all corporate owned? We're going to expand to Texas or New York or Seattle or something like that.
Well, truly, I do think that if you have the right operator as a franchise, you can really, really move much quicker than trying to keep it all corporate. I mean, it's just more investment. And for me, I have like other dreams and plans and ways that I want to invest. So I think giving people that gift of starting something like this is exciting, partnering with them. I've seen so much interest. We have a lot of people that are interested in doing this, and we're just vetting and making sure that we're getting into business with the right types of people. I think sometimes when we want to start something, we really overthink. We overplan, and sometimes it's just like, just go, just find a good operator that is eager, that wants to start now, that has the resources, and go, get going.
Yeah, well, it's an opportunity to follow somebody else's recipe, somebody else's playbook that clearly worked really well, versus trying to figure it out all on your own and all of the bumps and struggles along the way.
Exactly.
Well, you can find Tayo at BayAreaKidsRentals.com. We'll link that up along with the Instagram page in the show notes for this episode. Let's wrap this thing up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Try to understand the sector very well, right? That's very important. Research. And then I would say start small and don't be scared to, even if you have to start small, that's okay. I would also say that what helped me is just bringing my own self to what I was doing, right? Whether it's my own designs. And so that allowed us stand out, right? We stood out because we brought something new and fresh to the space. And I think that's important when you're starting.
Yeah, I think you're onto something there where in one world, I'm in charge of finding tables and chairs for my kids' party. Okay, who has them available at this date? And kind of, I'm just going down the list because it's somewhat commoditized. But then I look at your Instagram and it's like, okay, this is clearly a step above somebody that just has a directory listing and says, call us for a quote or something. You're exactly right about bringing your own self and your own personality into the business. A couple other takeaways that I wrote down. Number one was this idea of bullets before cannonballs, where it's like, I'm going to test this out with a relatively small investment into chairs and see if anybody wants them before going all in on buying a container, before buying the bounce houses and the ball pits and all this extra inventory. There was part of the conversation about building out the team and the systems to really free up your time. Well, it's like, hey, evenings and weekends where these parties are taking place, that's family time for me. I don't want to be out doing deliveries at this. It's like, no, I got the team in place to do that so you can focus on family. And then the last thing I wrote down was shoot your shot. Like, Tayo does not know the phrase imposter syndrome. She's like, no, even if I only have a handful of chairs, I'm reaching out to these event planners. I'm reaching out to the wife of some NBA star and sure, she's going to book me for this party. And, you know, the CEO of Apple is going to show up there. Whereas I think a lot of people would kind of be like, well, look at my account. I've only got 100 followers. I only have this limited inventory. I don't really know what I'm doing yet, but no, put yourself out there. Really cool. We've been talking party rentals, but the broader side hustle here is to think about the assets that really don't make sense for people to buy themselves, those one-off use cases type of products that you could buy and then rent out to them. So we've got episodes on renting out mobility scooters for people traveling from out of town. We've done an episode on portable hot tubs, even bridesmaid dresses, portable plastic moving boxes, lots of cool rental episodes in the archives. I encourage you to check those out if you like this model. And make sure to grab your free listener bonus for this week. It's my list of 25 other unconventional items you can rent out for a profit. Just hit the show notes link in the episode description and you'll be able to grab that for free. Big thanks to Tayo for sharing her insight. Big thanks to our sponsors for helping make this content free for everyone. You can hit up sidehustlenation.com/deals for all the latest offers from our sponsors in one place. That is it for me. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you're finding value in the show, the greatest compliment is to share it with a friend. Fire off that text message. Let them know, hey, you should check this out. Until next time, let's go out there and make something happen. And I'll catch you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.